Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chagiga Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to Option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 12 lines from the top of Daf Chof Dalid. On the side of our daf, you'll notice a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Minayin L'Revi B'Kodesh Pasul. From where do we know that one can reach a fourth level of Tumah within the context of Kodesh, Kodesh or Kodshim sacrifices, as opposed to the realm of Truma and Chulin? My hope is, of course, that everyone is familiar with certain basic concepts of Tumah, but if this is a new area to any of you, realize that there is something called an Ava Tumah, a primary level of Tumah. That is a situation where, let us say, a person came into contact with a corpse or was under the same overshadowing a corpse. The corpse is called Avi Avos HaTumah. It's an original source of Tumah, and he who comes into contact with the corpse becomes an Av HaTumah, and items that the Av HaTumah touches become a Rishon L'Tumah. And if a Rishon L'Tumah touches food or drink, it will become a Sheni L'Tumah. That is the end of the line when it comes to Chulin, mundane, common food and drink. However, with regard to Truma, there is a Shlishi level, and with regard to sacrifices, Kodshim, there is a Revi'i level. And our Mishnah made reference to the unique Revi'i level that you find by Kodesh, which you do not have in the case of Truma. Where do we learn that from? Tanya. So we continue now in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yossi, Minayin Revi B'Kodesh U'Pasul. From where do we know that there is such a thing as a fourth level Tumah when it comes to Kodesh, when it comes to sacrifices? V'dinhu, it's logical. Uma mechusur kipurim shemuter betruma posel b'kodesh. Mechusur kipurim is the reference to someone that had been tomei for 7 days, and there are certain 7-day Tumahs at the conclusion of which one brings sacrifices. The sacrifices are brought on the 8th day. During the time period that he is waiting to bring the sacrifices on that 8th day, he's called mechusar, means lacking kippurim, lacking the sacrifices. That is a state of, we'll say, quasi-tumah, because he hasn't completed all of his requirements. I say quasi-tumah because someone in that state of mechusar kippurim is allowed to eat truma. Truma is the tithe given to the kohanim, which must be maintained at a rather high level of tahara. Nevertheless, a mechusar kippurim is allowed to consume truma. However, a mechusar kippurim, as the source says, posel b'kodesh, he is not allowed to eat sacrifices. So let us continue with our logic. Mind you, a mechusar kippurim, which is allowed in truma, is forbidden in kodesh. Shlishi sheposel betruma, a shlishi, as we mentioned a moment ago, a third level tuma, is forbidden with regard to truma. Eino din shiase revi lekodesh. So certainly it will be capable of making a fourth level when it comes to sacrifices. Now, on a very technical level, the logic that we just stated has a bit of a hole in it, and that is, in order to conclude from mechusar kippurim, using that as your basis and then continuing to a shlishi that's posel b'truma, logically, all you can really conclude is that if Shlishi is posel b'truma, all the more so it is posel in kodshim. Where do I have license to go even further than that to get to a fourth level? So the Gemara points out, v'lomadnu shlishi l'kodesh min ha-Torah. The third level by sacrifices is based on a posuk in the Torah. So I don't need the Kal v'chomer logic that we just had suggested. Remember, just a minute ago we said, logically, the Kal v'chomer reasoning should have been that if Shlishi is posel b'truma, all the more so, and that all the more so is an expression of Kal v'chomer logic, all the more so there should be a third level by kodshim. However, the third level of kodshim, I don't need a Kal v'chomer to determine that. That's predetermined by virtue of the fact there's a posuk, which the Gemara will reveal to us shortly, to prove that there's a third level by kodshim. So if I have, on the one hand, an available Kal v'chomer, on the other hand, I already have a Torah source to reveal the information that the Kal v'chomer would have revealed, what am I going to do with the Kal v'chomer? So, as a result of this unique situation where I have a useless Kal v'chomer, this gives us license to extend the scale of Tumah down one more level to a Revi. And that's what the Gemara means here when it says Revi b'Kal v'chomer. So let's just go over this line again. It's a short and rather vague line without the background that we just shared with you. But what this line of the Gemara is doing is once again is justifying overstepping logical bounds. As we said, logic would have led me to know more than a shlishi by kodesh. However, I don't need the Kal v'chomer for that. And that's what the Gemara means when it says v'lomadnu shlishi l'kodesh min ha-Torah, not through Kal v'chomer, but from the Torah. So what am I going to do with the Kal v'chomer? So in this case, I have the right to extend the Tumah standard one more level down in the case of kodshim, and that's Uravi b'Kal v'chomer. Now the Gemara gives us the sources. Shlishi l'kodesh min ha-Torah minayin, where do we in fact learn a third level of Tumah in the realm of sacrifices? Where in the Torah do I see a reference to it? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, v'abosar asher yiga b'chol tamei loy ye'ochel. And the sacrificial meat that comes into contact with any kind of Tumah, you cannot eat that korban, that sacrificial meat. Now, when the pasuk says it comes into contact with any kind of tumah, mi lo askinon denoga b'sheni, are we not including the possibility of its having come into contact with a second level tumah? And then there, the Gemara doesn't spell out, but it's probably obvious to the Gemara that a second level tumah exists in the Torah, and Rashi does reveal, because there's a pasuk that says kol asher besocho yitmo, and from that pasuk yitmo kol asher besocho, everything in the clay vessel that the pasuk there is referring says yitmo, that gets you to a second level tuma. And this pasuk va'boser sheri gabuchol tomei lo yeochel, the sacrificial meat that touches any tuma, including that sheni that we just referred to, the pasuk says, "The ka'omar rachmon," and the Torah says, "Lo ye ochel." I can't eat the meat. What's the status of the meat? It must be that the meat was affected by the sheni, knocking it down one level, going down one level to a shlishi. So we see the reference to shlishi by sacrificial matters from the pasuk. Revi'i Mikal v'chomer hoda moron. We have a little arrow to the side. You can see it's a reference to the source we saw before, with the source in which the Kal v'chomer appeared. The Kal v'chomer which started as its basis the Mechuser Kippurim point that we discussed before. Ubetruma, the quote from the Mishnah, Ubetruma im nitmes achas miyodov, chaverta tahoru bekodesh matpil shtem, shayad mitames chaverta bekodesh avolo betruma. The Mishnah told us that in the case of truma, if a person has hands that were tohor, but one of the hands became tamei, the fact that one hand became tamei, that hand will not affect the other hand. We've mentioned already so many times, but if you're a first-time listener, bear in mind that we're dealing with rabbinic-level laws, laws of tumah. This idea of a hand being tomei without the rest of a person's body being tomei is a rabbinic phenomenon. What we just said, that one hand will not affect a second hand, in the case, that's true with regard to truma, but in the case of kodesh, if one hand becomes tomei, the Mishnah says he has to immerse both hands in a mikveh, because one hand, the one hand that became tomei, can metame the other hand. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading we've written, Yad Metame Es Chaverte Bekotshim Avalo Betruma, that one hand affects the other hand in the realm of Kotshim, Haim Ze Dafka Bechiburin. That term Chiburin is going to be featured in the Gemara. What does that mean? Shehatahoira Noigas Boy Basman Bakodesh. That means there's a chain. You have the Kodesh, and that's the sacrificial meat, and the one's Tohor hand is touching simultaneously on the tips of one's finger, we'll say, are touching the sacrificial meat, and the base of his hand is touching the Tomei hand. So you have a chain. You have a Tomei hand touching the Tohor hand while the Tohor hand is simultaneously touching the Kodesh, the Kodshim, the sacrificial meat. And the problem there is that we're fearful that the Tomei hand might touch the Kodshim directly. Oi, we continue with our Nosei, our topic heading. O, afilu shelo bechiburin, or even without that chain, that chain set up. Yad mitama es chaverta letame Kodshim. A Tomei hand touches a Tohor hand, touches his own Tohor hand, and later on that Tohor hand is used to touch Kodshim. And when the Tohor hand touches the Kodshim, the Tomei hand is not touching his Tohor hand at that moment. Do we say that even in a case like that, the Tomei hand can touch the Tohor hand? In the first case, the chain-like setup, there the problem is somewhat obvious, that if the person is with his Tohor hand is touching Kodshim, and at the same time his Tomei hand touches his Tohor hand, we're fearful that the Tomei hand might touch the Kodshim directly. So we declare that in a case like that, the Tomei hand also affects the Tohor hand to Mitama the Kodshim. So now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Shisvi, Bechiburin Shanu. Chiburin is that connection. The Mishnah that teaches that a Tomei hand can metame a Tohor hand, that's only if it is at the same time that the Tohor hand is touching the Kodshim. If we look at Rashi, toward the end of the narrow lines, Bechiburin Shanu, Masnisin bekotoni yad mitames chaverta lekodesh kion shebaoid shayad hatmeo noigas latohora, while the tomei hand is touching the tahora, hoisa tahora noigas bekodesh, the Tohor hand was touching the korbonus. The gozer rabbonin, the rabbonin imposed a gzera dilma osi leminga tmeo bekodesh, that the fear is that a person is coming, he's too close for comfort. He might touch the kachim directly with his tomei hand. So we tell him, listen, even if it's not, but if it's in this chiburin setup, the kachim will become tomei. Ulamadrum or lekamon posel lifsoil. Later, there the Gemara touches on the a precise analysis of what really happens. Does this make it this setup make it such that the kachim becomes a sheni l'tumah, and then it will then impose tumah onto another piece of meat, making it a shlishi, and that shlishi would be able to pass on the tumah to a fourth level, to a ravi, or does it stop right there where in the chain setup the meat that's being touched becomes just becomes puzzle, and that the tumor capacity doesn't go further? Maybe we should just restate what we did with greater accuracy, and that is that if it's letame, that would mean that the tame hand that's touching the tor hand, and at the same time the Torian is touching the Kachim, it would become, I said before, a Sheni, not necessarily, it becomes a Shlishi. But as a Shlishi in Kachim, it's Mitame, it's capable of passing Tuma on one more level. If you say that it passes the Kachim, it simply means that the very piece that's being touched becomes ruined, but it doesn't pass the Tuma on another level. Now, we continue in the Gemara. Rav Shizvi then said, "B'chiburim shano aval sheloi b'chiburin lo." If it's not in that chain-like setup, rather, after the tor hand, after the let's say the tomei hand separated from the tor hand, he then with his tor hand touched some kachim. It would not affect the kachim. It wouldn't affect the sacrificial meat, because the tomei hand in isolation does not affect the tohor hand. Eisve Abaye. Abaye now raises an objection, and you can see that this question takes a number of lines to develop. So Abaye is challenging Rav Shizvi, and we have a long question marking. He brings a quote, a Tanaic source, Yad Neguva Metama Chaverta. The word Neguva means dry. So a Tomei hand that's dry, there's no water, there's no dampness, there's no water in the hand that's clinging to his hand. Yad Neguva Metama Chaverta Letame Lekodesh Avolo Letrumo Divrei Rebbe. The hand then that's touching the kodesh will become the piece of meat will become a shlishi, and as such it will be able to pass tuma on to still another piece of meat. That's true with regard to kachim, not with regard to truma though. Rabbi Yossi Brabuta Omer Lifsoil Avalola Tame. Rabbi Yossi says that the Yad Neguva, the Tome, the dry Tome hand, affects the other hand not to impose Tuma to the piece of meat, but to render it unfit. That means he would make it a fourth level, a Revi'i level of Tuma, but not any further. I amris bishlama shelo b'chiburin. If you say that this concept of yad metamech haverta applies even shelo b'chiburin, even without that chain-like setup, rather the tomei hand touched the tor hand, and then later on the tor hand touched the meat, and the meat would become ruined. Well, if you say that, which is unlike Rav Shizvi, hainu rabuse dineguva, that's the chiddush of introducing a dry hand. Let's take a look in a moment. Let's take a look at Rashi, but beforehand, let's read another line of Gemara and then go over the Rashi. So at this point, we're saying that the Tanaic source that features a dry Tomei hand affecting the Torah hand, that has meaning if you tell me that we're dealing shelo b'chiburin. Elo i'amris b'chiburin in shelo b'chiburin loi, but if you say that this halacha of yad metame chaverta applies only in a chain-like setup, but if the Tomei hand is removed from the Torah hand before the Torah hand touches the meat, my Rabusa Dinaguva, what's the chiddush? Rabusa means the chiddush. What's the novel point in speaking about a dry hand? This is now explained in much greater clarity by Rashi. So we look together at the Rashi. Under the Gemara text, the fifth line of Rashi, under the Gemara, the wide lines, if you say that we're dealing with this non-attached setup, that the Tomei hand can metame the Torah hand, hainu rabusa denaguva. This is the chiddush of the dry element. The afagav denaguva hi kishinoga bazu. Even though the Tomei hand was dry when it touched the Torah hand, let's just skip the bracketed section for a moment. Afilu hachi metama. Even so, the Tomei hand will metama the Torah hand. That's, notice we was, when we skip the brackets, we read afilu hachi metama. The mala de rabbonon hi shiad metamas chaverta ba'asoy lehe asos shnia kemosa lekodesh. The Malo de Rabbona means it's a rabbinic stringency that one hand can a hand, we mentioned at the beginning of today's shir that we're dealing with dinim de Rabbonin, and your standard tomei hand is called a sheni l'tuma, a second level tuma, and the chiddush here is that a hand can touch, by touching the other hand even dry, it makes the second hand, the Torah hand, it makes it like it, meaning makes it too into a sheni l'tuma. This idea of a cross-level movement of tuma is something that's very unusual. Now we'll go over the bracketed section and we'll then understand why this is so unusual. It's so unusual even within the realm of rabbinic tuma, I might add. So now let's go over the Rashi again, but this time with the bracketed section. Rashi, by the little Dalid note there of the Bach, the Afagav, the Neguva, he, Kishinoga Bazu, even though the Tomei hand was dry when it touched the Torah hand, we're reading now in the brackets, V'ein Lochush, Shema, Noga, Hayad, HaTorah, B'mashkin, Shebe, Tmeya, Shehein, Rishonim, and being that it's dry, so there's no worry that the Torah hand touched the water that would have been on that Tomei hand. We're saying it's dry, though. But had there been water on the Tomei hand, the water would have become a Rishon Lotoma. And there's a rule behind that, how that happens. How is it that a Tomei hand, which has a status of a Sheni, how does it go up a level? It's very unusual, very unique, but it's applicable here to the realm of Mashkin. The Chol HaPoisel is HaTruma. There's a rule that anything, with the exception of a Tfu Yom, but anything that passels Truma, what passels Truma? Sheni level items passel Truma. So anything that passels Truma, Mitamim Mashkin Lios Tchila, automatically, when it comes to that contact between the sheni and mashkin, the liquids become a tchila. Tchila means a rishon, a first level tumah. V'hav yulo hach yad nami shnio machmas hamashkin kemo chaverta. Had the tomei hand been wet, so it's understandable that the Tohor hand will become a sheni. Why? Because the Tohor hand is touching the liquid attached to the Tomei, and that liquid has a Rishon status. So when it comes into contact with the Tohor hand, it goes down one level, and the Tohor hand becomes a sheni. So that would have been the case had the tomei hand been wet. But here, we're dealing with a dry tomei hand. And here is the chiddush, that afilu hachi metame, and even though the tomei hand is dry, it communicates its tuma to the tor hand. The mala de rabbonani, this is a chumrah on a rabbinic level, shayan metames chaverto liyoz lehe osois shnir kamoisu lekidish. That a hand can ruin, can affect the other hand, making it a second level tuma, just like the first hand that was tomei. It's a cross level movement of tuma. And all of this is the this is all part of the chiddush. If we assume that the hand, the tomei hand, is metame the tor hand, even though the tor hand at that moment is not touching the korban, elo I amris lo yamrinon elo bechiburin. If, however, you say that the tomei hand is metame the tor hand only while the tor hand is touching the sacrificial meat, v'taymo mishum dilma noga tomei l'kodesh, and the problem there is the fear that the tomei hand might directly touch the kodshim, my rabusa de neguva, what's the significance of pointing out that the tomei hand is dry? Otu yad komaisa lo metame lo lekodesh beloy mashkin halo shniyahi. That tomei hand is going to metame kodshim anyway without mashkin. Without mash means it being dry. After all, the tomei hand is a sheni l'tumah, and a sheni l'tumah can certainly affect the kodshim. So there, if it's, again, if it's a chain setup, and the we say that the tomei hand makes the tor hand tomei only because it's at a point that the tor hand is touching the sacrifices, and the whole basis for that is that the tomei hand might directly touch the kodshim, who cares whether the tomei hand is dry or not? Even if it's dry, it's going to ruin the kodshim. So the fact that it's dry is a non-issue if the whole din of Yad Metame Chaverto is in the setup of Chiburin. Just to repeat ourselves, but if the Yad Metame Chaverto is a problem, is a reality, even when it's not in the chiburin setup. So there's a very big chiddush here. There's a big, very novel point here that the tomei hand, even though it's dry, is metame the tor hand, creating it, the tor hand, to be at the same level of tuma as the tomei hand. Generally speaking, when you have tomei touching tor, there's usually, it goes down a level, with the exception of mashkin, it goes down a level. And here it's not going down a level. Staying, the tor hand becomes a sheni. And that, as we said, is a big chiddush. And as we said, that chiddush can only be appreciated if you're talking in a shelo b'chiburin setup. Because if it's a chiburin setup, and that the whole fear is that the tomei hand might touch the kodshim directly, so it's superfluous to introduce the element of the tomei hand being dry. The Gemara continues, Itmar nami omar Reish Lakish lo yishanu elo yado. Reish Lakish, at this point in the Gemara, we should point out that this is a first version of Reish Lakish. There's going to be a second version of Reish Lakish a little bit later, where the Gemara points out that Reish Lakish has a change of mind. But in the meantime, Reish Lakish is telling us that the din of Yad Metame Chaverta is only in a case of his own hand, but not so in the case of his friend's hand. That if I take my tome hand and touch my friend's tor hand, so his tor hand is not going to be affected. That's aval yad chaveru lo. And here we're at the top of Omid Beis. V'Rav Yochanan amar echod yodoi v'echod yad chaveroi. Whether it's your own hand or it's your friend's hand, your friend's hand can be affected by my tomei hand, however, provided ba'oisa hayad, it's the original tomei hand that directly touches the friend's tor hand. Not a case where my tomei hand first touches my other tor hand and then that touches my friend's hand. That wouldn't create tuma for the friend's hand. Rashi says this at the top line, ba'oisa hayad. Im noga biyad harishona biyad chavero. If the original, rishon means the first hand, the first tomei hand touches the friend's hand. Aval hashnia ena metami yad chavero. But the person's own second hand that is currently tor, if after touching his tomei hand, then the tor hand which would have been affected, then touches the friend's hand, then it's not going to have any effect. We continue in the Gemara. Mimai. From where do we know that a friend's hand can be affected? Say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that my tomei hand, if it touches my friend's tor hand, the friend's tor hand becomes tomei. From where do we know this? Midetani Seifa. Rabbi Yochanan, of course, is an Amora. So where does the Amora get his information from? From the continuation of the Mishnah, the expanded language of the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Shayad mitame chaverta. That one hand is metama, another hand, l'kodesh avolo l'truma, in the realm of sacrifices, but not in the realm of truma. Ha su lomali. Why does the Mishnah have to say that? If the Mishnah is simply telling me that one hand can affect a second hand, ha tonale reisha. The reisha already said that. And Rashi just reminds us of what that's a reference to. It said in the Mishnah, "Ulekidish matbilin shnehem," that if one hand becomes tame, it can metame the other hand, and you have to immerse both of them. So we see in the Mishnah that one hand can affect one's own second hand. So what does the Mishnah have to go on to say? Shayad metame chaverta elolav shma mino lasuya yad chavero. It's coming to include even a friend's hand. V'af Reish Lakish hadarbe, even Reish Lakish had a change of mind. He turned away from his original statement. The Omer of Yoino, Omer of Ami, Omer Reish Lakish, Echod Yodoy ve'Echod Yad Chaveroi. You see, Reish Lakish himself is saying Yad Chavero, but Oiso Hayad. Provided, as we said before, within Rabbi Yochanan, it's the original tomei hand that's touching the friend's hand. Lifsoil avolo l'tamei. What happens? That second hand that just became tomei, when it touches the sacrificial meat, it ruins it, but does not instill in that piece of meat the ability to transmit tuma one more level, one more time to another piece. In other words, the tuma stops there with that piece of meat, without that piece of meat being able to metama another piece of meat. What the point we just made, the lifso avalola tame tanoihi. And you see a diamond marking on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei Mivne heading. The diamonds represent shlavim, they represent stages, lahochiach, to prove the lifso avolo l'tame bekesher liyana metame chaverto tanoihi. The powers of that second hand, the hand that now became tame as a result of its contact with an original tame hand, the power that that newly defiled hand has of lifso and not letame to ruin the first piece of meat it touches, the first piece of sacrificial meat that it touches, but that meat cannot affect something else. This point is a machlokas tanoim. The Snan, the source says, kol apoisel betruma. We're reading in the Gemara text, the framed source says that that which passels truma, something that can ruin truma, mitame yodayim lios shniyos. Well, you have to ask yourself, what passels truma? So we know that things that are a shiny level of truma will ruin truma. So that kind of thing called passel truma will metame yodayim, will defile hands, lios shniyos, to become themselves a second level of truma. V'yad metame chaverto, divrei Rabbi Yeshua, and one hand can then affect another hand. V'chachomim omrim, Yodayim Shnios Hain. Hands are themselves Shani Lutuma, the Ain Shani Oisa Shani. And that which is a Shani cannot make something else into a Shani. My love, what are we to understand from Rabbi Yeshua? Shani Hu Dolo Ovid, that one hand doesn't make another hand into a Shani. Ha Shlishi Ovid, but it could make the other hand into a Shlishi. Now, what would a Shlishi hand do? A Shlishi hand would passel the korban that it touches, but it wouldn't metame. Metame, the difference between metame and passel, passel is a situation where the piece that was touched is ruined, but it cannot affect another piece. But if we say that that piece that was touched becomes tame, defilement is instilled in that piece of meat, enabling it to transmit tuma one step further. So according to the Tanakh, according to Tanakhama, it's Rabbi Yeshua, we're saying that the one hand that's a sheni makes the other hand also into a sheni. As a sheni, it would touch the korban, making it into a shlishi. And once the korban becomes a shlishi, it has the power to make another piece of korban into a revi'i. The Chachamim, on the other hand, say, no, the hand that has just been affected by the first hand, the first hand was a sheni level. The second hand becomes a shlishi, according to this assumption. And a shlishi will then make the kochim a revi'i. That's what we said before, lifso avalo letame. So the opinion that Reish Lakish, and we saw Rabbi Yochanan before him, expressed lifso avalo letame, would be the opinion of the Chachomim. The Gemara says that this is not conclusive. This is rejected. Dilma lo sheni ovid velo shlishi. That maybe the Chachamim are saying that hands are a sheni, and it doesn't make another hand a sheni. It doesn't affect the other hand whatsoever. Not just that it doesn't make it a sheni, it doesn't make it a shlishi either. And if it doesn't have any effect on the second hand, so that hand is not going to have any effect on the korbanos. So we don't see an opinion here of lifsol avalo letame. Elo, so where do we see this? Kihai kihani tanoi. Like you'll see in the following machloikis tanoim desanyo. Yad neguva metame es chaverta letame b'kodesh avalo letruma divrei Rebbe. A dry hand can defile a second hand letame b'kodesh. Now the word letame, I know that we might sound a bit repetitious, but for many this is a very new an uncommon area of halacha, so we repeat ourselves a bit. The dry hand is metame the other hand. What does letame b'kodesh mean? It means that the piece of kochim, of sacrificial meat, that this second hand will come into contact with, that piece of sacrificial meat is instilled with the power of being metama another piece of sacrificial meat. Avalola truma, this is not so with regard to truma. That's Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe Yosef Yehuda Omer, oysa yad lifsoil avalola tame. Here it's very clear. The second hand that was affected by the first hand is able to passel the korban that it touches, but it doesn't instill in it the power to transmit Tumah one more stage. Before we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the side and we see the Nosei Leva'er. Here our job is to explain Ha de Katani Oichlim Oichlin Neguvim. That means you can, there are two words that look very similar. Oichlin is the verb, you can eat Oichlim food Neguvim Biyodai Mesuavos. The Mishnah says that you can eat dry food with tomei hands in the realm of Truma, Avolo, Bekodesh, but not with regard to sacrifices. This line is very vague. So even though we translated it, let's not attempt to understand it without the Gemara. So we turn now to the Gemara text, and it quotes that line from the Mishnah Oichlim. That's, we said, is the verb, you can eat Oichlim Neguvim, dry food, Biyodai Mesuavos, with tomei hands, betruma avalo b'kodesh. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, v'chiyesh neguva l'kodesh. When you speak about eating with a dry hand, does dryness make a difference? Even if things are dry, even if the hand is dry, palo chibas hakodesh machsharton. The fact that something is sacrificial. Let me just correct our an inaccuracy I just mentioned. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus is saying, v'chiyesh neguva l'kodesh, does it make a difference whether the food is dry? The issue of dry hands we mentioned before. Here we're dealing with the food being dry. Does the fact that the food is dry by kodesh make a difference? Does that somehow reduce the possibility of it becoming tamei? Not so. Follow chibas ha-kodesh machshartan. Chibas means the, literally, the dearness of it being kodesh, the affinity or the uniqueness of it as being sacrificial, that itself machshartan makes it susceptible to absorbing tuma. So why does the Mishnah make a to do about your about eating dry food with tomei hands with regard to Truma, but and we don't allow it with regard to Kodesh? Lo Tzricha, the case that our Mishnah is referring to is necessary, Kegain Shetochav Loi Chaveroi Lesoich Piv, Oi Shetochav Huli Atzmo Bekushu Vekarkar. We're talking about a case where the person who's eating the kodshim didn't touch the kodshim whatsoever. He didn't touch the meat with his tomei hand. So how did the meat get into his body, into his mouth? Tochav lo chaver means stuck it in. His friend stuck the kodshim into his mouth, into the mouth of this man with tomei hands. Or he put the food into his mouth without touching the kodshim. He took a piece of a flat piece of wood, or flat, we mean it doesn't have a base kibble. Kushur kakur are tools, they're actually weaving tools, but for our purposes they're pshute kliates. They are not mekabel tuma. And the, let's just say, imagine a glorified toothpick, a very large toothpick. And he jabbed the kodshim meat onto one point of it, and he held the large toothpick from the other end, and put the kodshim into his mouth that way. So we're not talking in the Mishnah about someone who is handling dry sacrificial meat. So right now, the sacrificial meat got into this fellow's mouth. Whose mouth? The man that has tomei hands. The kodshim got into his mouth without any contact with his tomei hands. Ubikesh lechol tznoinu botzel shelchulimi moyem. And the fellow is interested in eating some vegetables, a tznon or botzel, different kinds of vegetables that are chulin, common food, together with the sacrificial meat that's right now in his mouth. We're talking about someone that's tomei hands. Now, tomei hands in general do not affect chulin. So that as far as the chulin itself is concerned, they wouldn't, the chulin, the tzon and botzel would not be affected by this guy's hands. What, however, is our fear? Our fear is that as he's putting the tzon and botzel into his mouth, with his tomei hands, he might touch the korbon, the korbonus meat, the sacrificial meat that is right now in his mouth. Are we to concern ourselves with that? Are we to fear that? L'kodesh gozru b'hu rabbanan. With regard to kodshim, we do impose this restriction. We tell the fellow, listen, if you have tomei hands and you're chewing on some sacrificial meat, don't pick up the tznonu botzel of chulin to put in your mouth. L'truma lo gozru b'hu rabbanan. With regard to truma, a person who is eating truma food right now, and tomei hands, by the way, if they do touch the truma, will ruin the truma. However, he's not handling the truma per se. He's handling the chulin with his tomei hands. He'll be careful. In the case of truma, will rely on him. Let's put it that way. Will rely on him not to touch the truma, and will let him put the botzel or tznon into his mouth. We take a look at the Rashi. There's a Rashi, you'll find about halfway down the Rashi commentary. The hands that are tomei right now, they have a sheni level of status. They don't ruin chulin. And nevertheless, don't pick up the chulin with your tomei hands while you're eating sacrificial meat. Pentiga yodoi misueves ba'oichle kodesh ebefiv. Lest your tomei hands touch the sacrificial meat in your mouth. Rashi goes on the inyan truma. Afopisha yad misueves posalto. Even though a tomei, misueves means tomei, a tomei hand, ruins the truma that's right now in his mouth. Lo osu mala. They don't impose this stringency to prohibit him from putting the chulin vegetable into his mouth while he's eating truma. Elo arminon zoyer, we say, you'll be careful, v'lo noga, and he won't touch the truma in his mouth. And the Mishnah's intent is to say as follows. Oichlin chulin biodayim misuvonos misuavos. A person can eat chulin with his tomei hands, im ha-truma, with the truma that's in his mouth. Avol loy im HaKodesh, but not with Kodesh in his mouth. Lochinoka Neguvin, and the reason Neguvin was cited here, She'ilu Achshav Hoyu Mashkin Alehem, if the Chulin, Tznon, or Botzel happened to have liquid on them, say had water on them, Hoyu Mashkin Nasin Rishonim Machmas Yodayim, the Sheni hands would have shot the chulin, the water, up one level to become a rishon. The oisin es hachulin shniim, and then that would make the chulin into a sheni, the dampness that having had contact with the tomei hands, the dampness becomes a rishon, making the chulin into a sheni. Ukshenoygin betruma shibafi poislin osam. Now sheni chulin that is sheni will ruin the truma in his mouth. But as we said, the hechter here is the food is dry. The food is not mukhshir lekabel tuma. And chulin that's not mukhshir lekabel tuma doesn't become tomei. It doesn't become a sheni, even though the tomei hand is touching it. The term mukhshir lekabel tuma is, that means, as we've said in the past, making it susceptible to becoming tomei. If the food is dry, so it's not susceptible to the tuma, and therefore, even though the hands are tomei, it's the hands' contact with the chulin that's dry, the chulin remains unaffected. We turn back to the Gemara text. Ha'oineinu mechutz kipurim, the Mishnah said, tzrichin tevila l'kodesh avolo l'truma. A person who was an onein, that's a person who whose close relative died, and he hasn't yet buried the relative. And a mechutz kipurim, a person who, as we said before, is someone that had been tomei and is awaiting the bringing of his korbanos. These people, the oinein and the mechutz kipurim, they need tevila for kodesh in order to eat sacrificial meat. They have to immerse themselves, but not for truma. They don't have to immerse themselves for the eating of truma. My taima, why do we have this requirement of immersing for the oinein and mechutz kipurim? Kevon de ad ho'idno havu asiri, since up till now they were forbidden in eating sacrifices, atzruchinu rabbonan tvila, the rabbonan impose the need for immersion. This is not so clear. We take a look at the comment on the side that we quote, in which we quote the Rambam. From Hilchus Avos HaTumah Perek Yud Beis Pasuk, that Perek Yud Beis Halacha Tezvav, and there he says, as an explanation, he says, Sharei ad ato hoyu asurim lechol es hakodesh. These people, the oinein and the mechutz kipurim, were forbidden in eating sacrifices, and since they were forbidden in eating these in eating sacrifices, Vesichu Daiton, they therefore weren't concerned, they weren't concentrating on maintaining the necessary level of tahara, of purity. Veshema Nitmu Velo Yadu, the fear is that they may have become defiled without knowing, because they let their guard down. So in order to preempt that possibility, or to solve that problem, we say, okay, before eating kochim, you have to go into the mikveh again. In the case of a mechutz kipurim, we say again because he had already gone to the mikveh at the end of his 7 purification days. But for him, he was still forbidden eating sacrifices until he brought the necessary korbanos, and after that he becomes allowed to eat kochim. So we say that, look, you've had a period of time where your guard was down, so go to the mikveh again. We continue now in the Gemara. The Mishnah, that is. On the side, before we continue with the Mishnah, we have a note on the side. And we call this a nosei klali, a general topic heading. This is a Mishnah that we had alluded to at the beginning of the perek. The beginning of this perek is called Chomer B'Kodesh, stringencies that you find by korbanos over truma. And we saw a list of 10, 11 items like that. Here we have a chumra, stringency that you find by truma that you don't find by korbanos. On the side, we've noted chumra b'truma al kodesh, stringency that we find by truma over sacrifices, and that involves ne'monus ame'oretz, the trustworthiness, the believability of the ignorant, al taras yenom ushmonom, with regard to the purity, the non-defilement of their wine and oil, shel kodesh. We're talking about wines and oils that are dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash for sacrificial purposes. Kol yamois hashana, we trust the Amayarts all year round. If they say that this barrel of wine or of oil has been dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash for kachim, for meal offerings, we believe him. Ubetruma rak b'shas hagisas, we believe Amaratzim to say that this barrel is a barrel of tohar truma only at the pressing season, the wine pressing and the olive pressing season. So now we turn to the Mishnah. Chomer b'truma, a stringency that you find by truma. Shebiyuda ne'monim al taras yayin v'shemen kol yomos hashana. We believe the amaratzim regarding the non-defilement of their wine and oil of kodesh all year round. U'b'shas hagisos v'abadim af ala truma. With regard to truma, only at the time of pressing gisos and badim. The gas is where wine is pressed, and bad is a place where oil is produced. Avru hagisas vabadim veviu loy chovis shel yayin shel truma. Once the pressing season passes, and an amoretz brings to a kohen that's diligent in the realm of tumas and taras, and he says, "Here's a barrel of wine that I'm giving you as truma. Lo yikablena mimenu." Don't accept it from him. Truma that's tomei is forbidden to eat. Avol manicho legas avo. Rather, the amoretz should leave this barrel till the next season. In other words, it's going to be a year later. Leave it over till next year, and then give it to the kohen. Ve'im omar lo. If the amoretz says ifrashti l'seicha revias kodesh. Here's a barrel of truma wine, and as part of this barrel is also another, revias is a measure, it's an amount, a few ounces of wine that are in this barrel of truma. There's also kachim. I've dedicated a revias of the wine to the Beis HaMikdash. Ne'emon, we say that the amoretz is believed regarding the whole barrel. And the logic here is that since he is believed with regard to the kodesh, he is believed also with regard to the truma, all being in the same barrel. Kade yayin v'kade shemen. A kad is a receptacle. It's a vessel. It could be a pitcher, a small container. So if you have kade yayin v'kade shemen, we continue at the top of Chof Hei, Omed Aleph, HaMedu Ma'os. The term Medu Ma'os throughout the Shas has a particular connotation. Here, though, Rashi says on the top line, HaMedu Ma'os, Meforish B'Gemora, V'Hashto Mashma. At this point, the thinking is, it's Shel Tevel Truma V'Chulin Muravin. There's a these containers have in it untithed wine together with truma wine and chulin wine. They're all mixed in this barrel. Ne'emonim aleim b'shas hagisos v'abadim. They are believed regarding this, that it's tohor at the time of pressing. V'kodim l'gisos shivim yom, and 70 days before the pressing season. Rashi says on the second line from the top, Shivim Yom, Magdimim Lataras Hakelim Gisos, we should say that the 70 days is a reference to 70 days before the pressing season, so people are diligent in making sure their vessels are Tohor. And if they're Tomei, they'll Metahir the vessels. Gisos is Shel Yayin, and Badim is Shel Shemen, as we mentioned before. For in English, we can refer to these two together as the pressing the site and pressing season. The Gemara will continue with a focus on the fact that the Mishnah made reference to a specific region in Eretz Yisrael, the Yehuda region. Mirtz Hashem in our next shiur, so we'll pick up with that point with the beginning of the Gemara. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.